And so, God,
in an everlasting covenant of life, O God, a covenant that you have sworn into place in the blood of the Lamb, a covenant that is to be developed in us so that we will become ministers of that new covenant, each one of us fearfully and wonderfully made, a covenant fashioned in the substance of the Master's fullness, a covenant of the bread of the holy and a covenant of the bread of the most holy, a covenant that will be made functional, O God, in the witness of blood, water, and spirit, Lord. A blood covenant reality, Father. And we pray that as we continue on the subject, O God, of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, that we will understand the gifts as a covenant reality, Lord. That it is, O God, an expression, O God, of the covenant of our God. And it's so important for us to be able to function in these gifts, O God, in the witness that is true and faithful. The witness that is clearly defined in spirit, in water, and in blood. The witness that comes exclusively out of the cross. The witness, O God, of the voice of the living God that is given to us through the witness and testimony of Jesus. And this witness and testimony of Jesus is in spirit, water, and blood. Enable us to understand, Lord, that moving by the Holy Spirit and functioning by the Holy Spirit is a reality that comes out of the cross of Jesus Christ. It is a reality that is brought forth in blood covenant, Lord. It's a blood covenant reality, and if we are a blood covenant people, Father, we will be able to do all things by the Holy Spirit, always in the name of Jesus. And we will always be able to verify from that witness in blood, water, and spirit the error of our ways, O God. So, Father, we pray that you will guard us and keep us and teach us so that what we bring forth in our lives will be in accordance with your will and your purpose for each one of us. Father, we pray for every reality that stands against the knowledge of Jesus Christ to be bound, to be uprooted from within us, O God, to be nailed to the cross of Jesus, and to be nullified, O God, in the authority of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. In your mercy and your grace, forgive us, O God, for our selfish agendas. Forgive us, O Lord, for our fleshly ways. Deliver us from the evil one. Deliver us from our fleshly ways. Come and heal us, O God. Come and heal us in the faith and love of Jesus. Come and build us in the faith and love of Jesus. Come and make us, O God, alive to the Holy Spirit in the witness and testimony of Jesus. That, Lord, we will not think, O God, that the gifts of the Holy Spirit are entirely experiential, O God. That we will understand that the gifts of the Holy Spirit are part and parcel of the Word of God. They are part and parcel, O God, of the living expression of the Word of God. And the Word of God is a living person, O God, who reigns as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And the person, O God, whom we express as the Word in us, O God, is the Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray that when we function by the Holy Spirit, we will function entirely in the name of Jesus. Father, we pray that, Lord, you will deliver us from the error of our ways, that you will save us by your name, that you will vindicate us by your power, that you will make us faithful and true vessels of the living God. We look to you to make us your workmanship, Father, because only you can make us vessels of the living God. Let the light of the knowledge of the glory of God, which is in the face of Christ Jesus, be released into our hearts, so that the surpassing greatness of the power will be of you, Father, and not of ourselves, O God. So come, Holy Spirit, and teach us. Come, Holy Spirit, and make us the vessels of the living God. Come, Holy Spirit, and enable us to do all things in the name of Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit, and enable us to function exclusively in the Spirit and blood of the Lamb. Enable us to function exclusively in the witness, O God, of blood, water, and spirit, Lord. We pray this, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. 1 Peter chapter 4. Verse 10, as each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Let me read that from the New King James. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. And the foundation of the gifts of the Holy Spirit is the reality of the vocal gifts. And the vocal gifts are meant to enable us to function as the oracles of God, so that we will speak the utterances of God, so that we can minister as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. It's very important that God can only be glorified through Jesus Christ. We need to understand this, that we do not function in the gifts of the Holy Spirit in a vacuum. Because if we function in the gifts of the Holy Spirit in a vacuum, without consciously understanding that we need to always, in our inward parts, glorify the Lord Jesus Christ, then you will open the doors to the occult. And one day you will lose your life because of that. One day you will lose your life because of that. God is a triune reality. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. You cannot divide God. All things that we do, and so we need to understand that everything has to be accomplished in the name of Jesus, because all things are to be brought to fulfillment in the name of Jesus. His fullness is to fill all in all. The vocal gifts are an expression of the witness and testimony of Jesus. We need to understand this very clearly. You can't just simply do your own thing. What you think is right, you just open your mouth and let go. It cannot be like that. You have to understand that you are called to manifest the witness and testimony of Jesus. That the witness and testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And so everything that God means to fulfill will flow out of the witness and testimony of Jesus. And the oracles of God that we are called to become. That's why Deuteronomy says in chapter 30, verse 14 and 15, that the word of God is in our mouth and in our heart. In order to get the word of God into our heart and into our mouth, God wants us to realize the ability to speak in tongues, because through tongues, God can bring into us the realities of the mysteries. The realities of the mysteries. The realities of the mysteries of God. All right? So let's go back and let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 2. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men but to God. For no one understands him. However, in the spirit he speaks mysteries. Or in his spirit he speaks mysteries. So the reason for tongues is so that we can enter into the mysteries of God. And it's very important to understand that. It is not just simply functioning in tongues so that you can do your own thing. Or prophesy so that you can make people do what you want them to do. Tongues are meant to bring forth the mysteries of God. And the mysteries of God are very specifically designed in the Bible, so that we will do the things that God wants us to do. So I just want to talk today about the mysteries that tongues are tied to. So we will start with Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13 comes out of the parable of the sower. And the parable of the sower is about the sowing of the word of God. Tongues are tied to the word of God, and tongues are tied in verse 11. Jesus says, to you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. Through the word is designed to reveal the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. And the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven are entirely not of your intelligence and my intelligence. They are not of the realities that we walk in every day. The mysteries of the kingdom of heaven are entirely that which is of God. That which is of God. And you really need to know that. You need to understand that. And tongues are the tool by which you are called to take hold of those mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, because God has the intent of manifesting the word of God. Look at verse 23. And the one on whom seed was sown on the good soil, this is the man who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and brings forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. And 100-fold groweth measures, or even 30-fold groweth measures, are entirely not of the realities of man. God is talking of something that is of his abundance. He's talking about something that is of his excellence and of his brilliance. So if you and I are going to become the oracles of God, then we have to be entirely fashioned out of the greatness of God, not out of the greatness of what we can do. If you are operating your ministry in the strength of what you know and what you are able to do, you're walking the wrong way. God wants you to be a vessel that he is creating. And tongues are the means. It's a tool. It's a tool to facilitate you so that you become a vessel of the living God, so that you can bring forth the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven on earth. Where is the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God is within you. Luke chapter 17, verse 20, 21, 22, round about there. All right, the kingdom of God is within you, the kingdom of God is amongst us, and tongues are designed to unveil the mysteries of that kingdom. And that kingdom is not of this world. That kingdom is something that is not of our intelligence. It is something that is of God. It is a kingdom that comes out of God. It is his kingdom. He sets the rules, he runs it, he is sovereign in it. So the first thing you need to understand as you use tongues is that it is a doorway to many wonderful things. But you need to understand that it has to be a doorway to those things that come from God. If they are not, you are in trouble. It's only a question of time before you really go into funny things. Because there's also something called the mystery of lawlessness. And the mystery of lawlessness is serious business, huh? It can look like the real thing. It can look like the real thing. And we have seen that in the charismatic church, we have seen when gifts are used for the wrong reasons. And gifts are used to manipulate people. Gifts are used to make people do what others want them to do. And you practice witchcraft. And all that is part of lawlessness, where you use your giftings to control people. That is lawlessness. And so you need to understand there's a very thin divider between going using the gift to draw from God what he has in his abundance and moving into what you want to do and bringing forth death and destruction out of your life. Any gift can be mutilated. Any gift can be used for the right thing or for the wrong thing. It only takes your thoughts to do so. Just as you can use your mind for the right thing or the wrong thing at the speed of thought, you need to understand that any gift God gives you can be used like that. And the example is Lucifer. So you need to understand very clearly that God wants you to understand that those vocal gifts are meant to train you and develop you so that you become a person who is able to give expression to the oracles of God. This is your training for ministry. Everything in ministry involves your mouth. Everything in ministry involves your heart. And your mouth speaks out of the abundance of your heart. The moment you speak, you know what is in your heart. So if you are not the type of person who is watching what you say, you are in trouble. Because you can bring out all kinds of funny stuff from out of your heart. It is not what goes into you that defiles you. It is what comes out of you that will defile you. I didn't say so. Jesus Christ said so. So the first thing you need to understand is that tongues are dedicated to the revelation of the mysteries of the kingdom. And Jesus makes categorically this statement. Verse 16. But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. Tongues can enable you to hear. Tongues can enable you to see. But if your heart is black, then you will see blackness and you will hear blackness. So don't play games with God's giftings. If the light that is in you is darkness, Jesus said, how great is the darkness? So there is a light that is actual darkness. The light that stands against the knowledge of God. The light that is of the occult. The light that is of the lawless. In Matthew 7, Jesus warns us, you know, it is not all who say to me, Lord, Lord, who will enter the kingdom of heaven. Right? Let's turn to Matthew 7. Verse 21. I'm reading from the New American Standard. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. But he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And prophecy comes out of tongues. It's a natural outflow of tongues. As you learn how to speak in tongues, you will also be able to convert that in language and you can prophesy spontaneously. All right? Did we not prophesy in your name and in your name cast out demons? So you have gifts like discerning of spirits. And you can discern spirits and you can appear to cast them out. And these guys were appearing to do all of those things. Hello? You know, it doesn't take very much for demons to scream. And they can put on a show for you. And it can be an entire deception. Demons screaming in every corner, and we think, oh my goodness, I'm doing this real powerful deliverance ministry. And it could be an entire show set up to con you. So how do you know whether you're doing something that is real or not? Only if you're glorifying Jesus Christ will you know that. If the intent of your ministry is to glorify Jesus Christ, then you will know that what is happening is real. It is true. If the intent of your heart is not to glorify Jesus Christ, but to glorify yourself, then the devil will play ball with you. No problem la. He invented that concept. Yeah? He invented that concept. He invented it to such a great extent, right? That he even declared himself to be God. So one of the mysteries that God brings is called the mystery of faith. Now, Lucifer developed the mystery of faith in the mystery of lawlessness so that he thought that he could be God. How do you like that? Listen carefully. And there are many of us who want to be little gods, isn't it? My ministry. I am the anointed man of God. Nobody else is like me. Watch out for thought processes like that. I am the only act in town. Yeah? Yes. Right? People who call themselves, dress themselves up like little gurus who call themselves holy men. What is that? A perversion of what is called the mystery of godliness. Very simple. The mystery of godliness proclaimed in a different sense out of the mystery of lawlessness, and it becomes men proclaiming themselves as little gods. Hello? Listening? So you see, as we talk about the mysteries of God, you really need to understand there's a very thin line between the two sides, light and darkness. And if you don't proclaim the name of Jesus, if you don't function in this witness of spirit, water and blood, you can move into the occult so easily. So you can have prayer warriors who pray witchcraft prayers, no problem at all. They will be seeing visions. So in the Bible you read there were prophets who were seeing visions, and God said they are just seeing visions that they want to see. Out of their own inspiration they are seeing visions. They are lying. They never heard anything from me. They are prophesying by Baal. What does that say? They are prophesying by Satan. The thing you must understand is they didn't know that they were doing that. The lie had become part and parcel of their life. That their whole lifestyle had become a lie. Their whole ministry was a lie. Remember, God calls them prophets. Hello. They were prophets. They came out of the school of prophets that Samuel set up. that Elijah and Elisha developed. And that same school of prophets were almost entirely in error. There were only a handful of prophets who really belonged to God. The rest of them had all gone into error. Listen. And don't think it is any different in the church. And God's warning us, if you don't learn how to do things in the witness of spirit, water, and blood, if you don't learn how to do things in the witness and testimony of Jesus, you won't know what kind of a spirit you are functioning in. So the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven are tied to the word of God. What realm of the word? Let's turn to Psalm 138. Psalm 138, verse 2. I'm reading from the New American Standard. For thou hast magnified thy word according to all thy name. The last line in verse 2. For thou hast magnified thy word according to all thy name. The kingdom of God. The kingdom of God stands by who God is and all that God is. The word that stands according to who God is and all that God is what the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven are designed to reveal. Now this is why God says in the book of Isaiah, let's turn to Isaiah chapter 55. Verse 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts. That's why you need tongues. Because your mind cannot comprehend thoughts that are off the level of God's thoughts. Alright? For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So what is God saying? Everything about me, you can't know in and of yourself. Unless you receive it from me, it is not going to be the real thing. So in Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 29, it is written, the secret things belong to God, but the things revealed belong to us and to our sons forever, that we may observe all the words of this law. The observance of the law was impossible for the whole nation of Israel. But in the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, the fulfillment of the law is the basis of the kingdom of heaven. And the fulfillment of the law is entirely in the name of Jesus. It is of his spirit and his life. And if you use tongues properly, you will function in tongues with the spirit and life of Jesus, with the faith and love of Jesus, with the character and nature of Jesus, with the witness and testimony of Jesus, and you will grow from glory to glory and to become sons of God. But your tongues must be dedicated to the glory of Jesus Christ. Your tongues must be dedicated to the glory of Jesus Christ. He must be the king in your heart. He must be the sovereign Lord over your ministry. It has to be like that. You have to train yourself to be like that. You ask the Lord to make you like that. It doesn't come to any one of us naturally. All of us want to be little gods on our own. But that desire to be little gods has to be put to death. If you don't do that, you will lose your life. So it's awesome to want to be oracles of God. But to be oracles of God, Jesus must become the way, the truth, and the life. This witness within you must be entirely in spirit, water, and blood. And spirit, water, and blood has its checks and balances inside of you. What's wrong with a lot of frontline charismatic ministries? They simply go spirit, spirit, spirit. They don't know what the dickens they're moving in. There are no checks and balances. Blood is covenant. The covenant in blood is an intimacy. Essentially, it is an intimacy. Blood covenant is intimacy. It is built out of the faith and love of Jesus. It is fully enabled out of the heart of Jesus. Is your ministry being enabled out of the heart of Jesus, or are you just trying your best? Don't get me wrong. There is a learning process, and when we start off, we can try our best because we don't know anything else. But as you start maturing and you start growing, you better start aligning everything in line with what God is able to bring forth in your life. Because functioning in the kingdom of heaven is not of the ability of man. You and I don't know what the kingdom of heaven is all about. So to grow in 100-fold measures, to grow in 30-fold measures and 60-fold measures is something that flows out of the kingdom of God. It flows out of the heart of the Father. It flows out in the Word of God. It flows out by the Holy Spirit. It is not of the intelligence of man. It is of the brilliance of God. And in Matthew chapter 11, verse 11, Jesus pointedly tells us the difference between the kingdom of heaven and those who are under the law, looking at John the Baptist. Truly I say to you, among those born of women, there has not arisen anyone greater than John the Baptist. Yet he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. What is he talking about? He's talking about the difference between the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of earth. John the Baptist stood under the righteousness that came by the law. But every one of us is called to stand by the righteousness that comes out of the cross of Jesus Christ. That's the difference. The righteousness that comes through the faith and love of Jesus. And tongues enable you to realize the faith and love of Jesus. Tongues enable you to realize the character and nature of Jesus. Tongues enable you to realize the witness and testimony of Jesus. Tongues enable you to realize the spirit and life of Jesus. And everything inside of you will be built in the name of Jesus. And it's powerful. It is powerful. So use your tongues according to the word of God. Please do that. You cannot use your tongues because you have a brilliant idea. If your idea is not consistent with the word of God, and if your idea is not designed to glorify Jesus Christ, if your idea is not designed to edify the body of Christ, brother, you better look at your ideas very carefully, because one day it'll be too late to cry. So the first thing you need to understand is that your tongues are tied to the kingdom of heaven. All right, let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse 7. But we speak God's wisdom in a mystery, right? God's wisdom is a mystery. It is not of the intellect of man. It is not of the scholarship of man. God's wisdom is a mystery. The hidden wisdom which God predestined before the ages to our glory. But this is the wisdom that your tongues are designed to draw. This is the wisdom in which the kingdom of God stands. And it's meant for our glory. It is meant for our glory. Where does this come from? It comes out of the cross of Jesus Christ. Because in John chapter 17 verse 22, Jesus prays and he says, Father, the glory that thou hast given me, I have given to them. So we function in the glory that Jesus has bequeathed to us. But that glory belongs to him. Your tongues can draw upon that glory, but you make sure that you present the glory back to the glory of the Father by the Son. It's very important that you learn how to do that. Now, all this you can learn by the mere use of tongues. You just commit it to the Holy Spirit and you just say in your language, Lord, I want what you give me to be dedicated from my heart to the glory of Jesus Christ. And you just pray in tongues like that. That's why when I tell you guys, when you learn the scriptures, learn scriptures through tongues. Asking God to expound the scriptures to you in the testimony of Jesus. asking God to reveal the scriptures to you in the spirit and life of Jesus, in the character and nature of Jesus. That's why I ask you guys to use tongues to learn the scriptures. And then you will be taught of God. And when you are taught of God, you will be humble because you know you didn't receive it out of your own scholarship. So in the end, one day when you stand up and you speak the word of God, in whatever calling that God has brought out in your life, and the words flow out of you, those words will testify whether you have been taught by God or whether you have been taught by men. You don't need degrees to tell you that you are a learned man. Huh? Peter was an apostle based on what? Based on his background as a fisherman. Did he go to some theology school? No, he did not. Who taught him? God taught him. Did he know the word of God? Yes, he knew the word of God. How? The Holy Spirit taught him. All that he did not understand when Jesus taught him, he learned when the Holy Spirit was given. And so the gift of tongues are given to you so that you can learn the things that God can teach you. So that you will be taught of God, and in your own heart, in your own free will, there will be this desire to glorify God and nobody else. Who else is worthy of glory? Who else has saved you? Who else has done the impossible with you and me? Verse 9. So what is this hidden wisdom? Things which eye has not seen and ear has not heard and which have not entered the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love him. Now that reality for those who love him is a reality called prophetically the root of David. So when you pray in tongues, please ask God to develop that root of David. That is your strength in God. That is your strength in God. That is your strength in God. So pray in tongues so that you will have that strength that is birthed out of the love of God. Do you love God? I mean, honestly and truly, do you love God? I don't mean in a moment of emotion. In the things you do every day, do you love God? In the words you say, in the words you speak, in the thoughts you have, in the things you do, in the decisions you make every day, do you love God or don't you love God? In the time that you spend every day, do you love God or you don't love God? Very easily checked out. The point is not to point and say, oh my goodness, my love is so mediocre. It is to understand that one of the things that is of the mysteries of God is his heart of love for you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. So if you want to have love in your heart towards God, you have to receive that love out of the Son's heart, because nobody else loved God like that with all of his heart, soul, mind and strength. Only Jesus Christ did. Nobody else did. So tongues can be designed to open that whole reality of the love of God that has been given to you in Jesus Christ. On the cross, Jesus expressed his love for you. The love of God has been made manifest for you. That's what is the witness of the cross. The word of the cross is the power of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 18, 1 Corinthians chapter 22, and 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 18, 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 22 and verse 23. Christ crucified. The word of the cross is the power of God. Why is it the power of God? Because it's the power to enable you to become what God wants you to be. The cross is fundamentally designed to put you in your carnal self to death and to raise you by the Spirit into a new creation. You can't comprehend that with your mind. You can't even relate to that with your own free will. But through tongues, you can sidestep what your mind cannot conceive. And you can draw from the heart of Jesus the willingness to be changed, the willingness to be in the image and fullness of Jesus Christ. Can you see that? And when that willingness is drawn out of the heart of Jesus, then you will begin to realize, my goodness, every change in me is because of something that Jesus has done for me. That's how I look at myself. Every reality that is worthwhile in my being today has come out of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, and I'm grateful. That's why exalting his name comes naturally. I love to do it. I love to do it because it has made such a big difference in my life. It's not cooked up. I don't preach anything that does not glorify Jesus Christ. In all these years of ministry, right? All of my focus has been in the revelation of Jesus Christ. Because I asked God, a long time ago I said, it has to come out of him. I know that. Instinctively, I know that. I may not be able to prove it out of the scriptures, but instinctively, I know it has got to come out of his heart. If I'm going to be anything worthwhile, then I have to be fashioned entirely out of the fullness of Jesus Christ. And tongues are designed to enable you to become the oracles of God. You can only become the oracles of God in the witness and testimony of Jesus. So the kingdom of heaven is designed, the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven are designed to make you a blessing to nations. You don't know how to be a blessing to nations. You can't even be a blessing to yourself. I can't be a blessing to myself. And yet we kid ourselves that we are going to build big ministries. You can't. Because the intents in your own heart are already out of whack. So whose intention is pure intent towards God? It only is in the heart of Jesus. It is only in the heart of Jesus. Nobody else has it. Thy word is tested, O God. Where is it tested? It is tested on the cross. Thy word, O God, is tested. Where was it tested? It was tested on the cross. David wrote that in his Psalms, and the true David manifested it on the cross. So the root of David comes out of Jesus. He is the son of David. And your tongues are designed to draw that mystery that is called the mystery of Christ into your being, so that you will be fashioned in the image and fullness of Jesus Christ. Can it be done? Yes. Because there will be no other name by which you can stand before God. You know that. These guys were saying, Lord, Lord, I did this for you. I did this in your name. And he says, I do not know you. Be gone from me, you who practice lawlessness. So lawlessness is also a mystery. It's a spiritual mystery. And you can flow into that spiritual mystery very easily if you don't focus on Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. That's why Jesus Christ is described as the way, the truth, and the life. And you and I, as ministers of his word, need to develop that day by day. It doesn't come to us naturally. Commit it to the Holy Spirit and ask him to manifest that which is of Christ Jesus into our beings. All right? So the first thing that tongues do is tie you to the mysteries of the kingdom that are in the word of God, that is opened according to the thoughts of God, according to the ways of God. Catch that? And you have to draw that mystery, and tongues is a tool. Okay, let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1. Let a man regard us in this manner as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Two things are mentioned here, servants of Christ or ministers of Christ. and stewards of the mystery of God. Stewards of the mysteries of God. First, you must be a servant of Christ or a minister of Christ. And a minister of Christ ministers in the stewardships of the mysteries of God. So there is a particular set of mysteries in God that God wants to reveal through your life. And you are called to realize that. You are called to realize that. Are you listening? The secret things belong to God. The things revealed belong to us. Right? So, revelation and tongues are tied together. Revelation and tongues are tied together. What does it mean to be a minister of Christ or a servant of Christ? Christ means the anointed one. Right? Tongues enable you, right, if you use it in the name of Jesus, enable you to realize all things in the Spirit of Christ. And the Spirit of Christ, right, the Spirit of Christ will enable you to be strengthened in Christ so that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. All things. Now, tongues can give you that ability to be strengthened through Christ. So that you can be a steward of the mysteries of God. Powerful. So you pray in a tongue, you pray in a mystery. And the mystery is a humongous mystery. It's a limitless mystery. There are many dimensions to the mystery. All right? Many dimensions to the mystery. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 6. The intent of this teaching is to open you to what stands available to you in tongues. Please understand, you have to use the word of God. All right. So Ephesians chapter 6 verse 19, Paul says, pray on my behalf that utterances may be given to me in the opening of my mouth. You see, what is he saying? That I may be an oracle of God, right? Speaking spontaneously the words of God, right? He says, pray for me to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel. That's why Paul says, I pray in tongues more than you all. And it enabled him to write 2/3 of the New Testament. He's not simply telling you something, right? But he prayed always so that Christ would be reigning king in him, so that he would be formed in Christ, that Christ would be formed in him, right? That he would be clothed with Christ, right? And if you are clothed with Christ and if Christ is formed in you, you will function by the Holy Spirit perfectly. If you function in the Spirit of Christ, then you will function by the Holy Spirit perfectly. So the mystery of the gospel, the entire gospel, the ability to communicate that gospel into people's lives depends on that gospel being communicated in the spirit and life of Jesus. That is a mystery. It is not an intellectual reality. You can't just simply study the Bible, memorize 500 verses and say, I'm going to speak the word of God. He's talking about that which will come forth by the Holy Spirit spontaneously in the spirit and life of Jesus. And what is released will penetrate the human heart. It will break the darkness. It's a supernatural work. That's the mystery of the gospel that he's talking about. Not that which is conjured up by the minds of men. So this is the realm. That's why all of us can be taught of God. It is written in the prophets. Jesus said it. John 6:45. All of you will be taught of the Father. Only those who are taught of the Father will come to me. So through tongues, God the Father teaches you through God the Holy Spirit, unveiling God the Son. Because God the Son is the Word. So anything taught to you in truth is of the God the Son. And anything of God the Son has to be ordained by God the Father. And anything that is ordained by God the Father and God the Son proceeds through God the Holy Spirit. Fundamental Christian theology. The Spirit comes forth from the Father and the Son, or the Spirit comes forth from the Father through the Son. The Holy Spirit does not function in a vacuum. He flows in that reality. Praise the Lord. Right? The mysteries of the gospel. So through tongues, discover the mysteries of the gospel. All this will take time. But you can commit the whole learning process to the Holy Spirit. And as you pray the word and ask God to release that word into you with revelation knowledge, it will come forth. Chapter 14, verse 6. But now, brethren, if I come to you speaking in tongues, what shall I profit you unless I speak to you either by way of revelation or of knowledge or of prophecy or of teaching? So tongues are the key to revelation, to knowledge, prophecy, or of teaching. So what do you need from God? It's all there. Big words. Revelation talks about the unknown. Knowledge talks about what is the substance of that unknown. Prophecy is how you release that which God has brought into you. Teaching is how you express that so that others can catch it. Yeah? Can you see that? And it's powerful. Right? Tongues also cover what is called the mystery of faith. Let's turn to 1 Timothy chapter 3. Verse 9. Holding to the mystery of faith with a clear conscience. Where does a clear conscience come from? It comes out of the Spirit and life of Jesus. It comes out of the faith and love of Jesus. And as you grow, that clear conscience comes out of Christ's witness and testimony. Holding to the mystery of faith. So faith is not something that you can explain out of the intellect of man. Faith is a mystery. You pray it in. So faith is substance, isn't it? It's a substance of your hope. So what are you setting your hope on when you pray in tongues? Are you setting your hope on what Jesus has given you, or God has given you through Jesus Christ? If you do that, the substance will be of Jesus, and all things are possible. All things are possible. Praise the Lord. Verse 16. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. And by common confession, great is the mystery of godliness. Great is the mystery of godliness. He who was revealed in the flesh was vindicated in the spirit, beheld by angels, proclaimed among the nations, believed on in the world, taken up in glory. Now each one of those lines tells you something of what the mystery of godliness carries. He was revealed in the flesh. You can have a heart of flesh, and Christ can be revealed in you in that heart of flesh. That is part of the mystery of godliness. He was vindicated in the Spirit, and you will learn how to be justified in the Spirit of God in the name of Jesus. And that justification will give you, right, a reality of being a godly man. Like Enoch, it is written in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5. Enoch obtained the witness that he was pleasing to God. Enoch obtained the witness that he was pleasing to God. Enoch obtained the witness that God saw him as a godly man. Beheld by angels. The Christ who was beheld by angels stands in a transcendent reality. Reigning King, sitting at the right hand of the Majesty on high. The mystery of godliness is designed so that he will be revealed to you like that, that you will see Jesus Christ as being preeminent. Proclaimed among the nations. If you are going to proclaim the name of Jesus in the power that is there, then it has to be manifested out of godliness. If you are not prepared to be godly, which Christ are you proclaiming? Today,
So many parts of the church are guilty of proclaiming a Christ who wants to make us all rich. Rich in material things. Is that part of the mystery of godliness? No. It is not. What is the essential reason Jesus Christ came? To make us godly people. That you and I will be made complete in Christ. Not to be in the image of the world. We are trying to twist the gospel so that we can be rich men like the rich men of the world. And thereby prove the superiority of the gospel. Jesus Christ didn't come like that. He came to manifest a new man, a godly man. The mystery of godliness is designed to make you and me godly people. To have the desire to be godly, to have the desire to be holy. To have the desire to be holy. Believed on in the world. Believed on in the world. The mystery of godliness will enable you to communicate something out of your own mouth that others will be able to catch hold of and believe in. Why is the church weak? Because we are not willing to be godly. We want to play with gifts. We want a God who is a Santa Claus who will just give us some giftings and we can say whatever we want to do. Right? In the process of building ministries, we also drive a Mercedes-Benz, and so we also have a house with 20 rooms, air-conditioned kennels, we fly first class, our suits cost nothing less than $1,000 a piece. Our ties are at least $500. Whose image is that? Did Jesus look like that? Why do we twist the word of God like that? Simply because the reality of the mystery of godliness has never been pursued. That's why. Taken up in glory. So if you want to understand the meaning of the glory of the Lord, because He gave that glory to you and me, it comes out of the mystery of godliness. Amen? And tongues are designed to open all of these things to you. Isn't it wonderful? That's why to me, the most valuable gift you can have is the gift of tongues. And the gift of tongues flows into everything else. Once you have the knowledge, you have interpretation. Whether it comes out as word of wisdom, whether it comes out of word of knowledge, or whether it comes out of a literal communication of what you have spoken in tongues. Right? The root is tongues. The root is tongues. Praise the Lord. Let's turn to Colossians. Colossians chapter 1. Verse 26. Colossians chapter 1 verse 26. Paul is talking and he's saying, "Of this church I was made a minister according to the stewardship from God." You remember that the stewardship from God is also a mystery? All right. "Bestowed on me for your benefit." So stewardship that flows out of the mysteries of God always benefits the church, always benefits the body of Christ. It is not self-denominated. "That I might fully carry out the preaching of the word of God." You see, out of that mystery of the stewardship of God, of the mysteries of God, comes the enabling to preach the word of God, to fully carry out the work of God. What is he saying? He's saying that everything that I'm doing in the ministry has been enabled out of what God has given me. It has been enabled into me. That's what he's saying. That is the mystery which has been hidden from the past ages and generations, but has now been manifested to his saints. All right, to whom God willed to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. What is he saying? Essentially, the entire glory of this mystery, the awesome power of this mystery, is summed up in two words: Christ in you, the hope of glory. So when you speak in tongues, fundamentally, the root of that is Christ in me, the hope of glory. Christ in me, the hope of glory. Can you see that? Verse 28. And we proclaim him, admonishing every man and teaching every man with all wisdom, that we may present every man complete in Christ. And for this purpose also I labor, striving according to his power, which mightily works within me. And that power that mightily works within you is the word of his power. And the word of his power is the essence of the mystery of heaven, the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. And he is the radiance of his glory, the Father's glory, and the exact representation of his hypostasis, substance. Christ in me, the hope of glory, substance, right? And upholds all things by the word of his power. And the word of his power is what brings forth 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold measures of growth. But at the core of the whole revelation is the mystery of Christ. So tongues, use it to reveal the mystery of Christ in you. Christ in me, the hope of glory. So pray in tongues, fundamentally from that position, and you will see God do a work in you that you have never imagined possible. Praise the Lord. So the vocal gifts are designed to make you a chosen instrument of the living God, to make you a living expression of the utterances of God. Powerful, guys. Very powerful. Use it. You can learn all kinds of things. There are tongues of learning, there are tongues of teaching, there are tongues of knowledge, there are tongues of wisdom, there are tongues, O God, tongues that will give you, right? Tongues that will give you an intimacy with God. The tongues are humongous. Why? Because it comes from the root form of revelation and knowledge. What does God want you to have in terms of revelation knowledge? Fundamentally, realities of who he is and all that he is. How much is that? Everything. Everything that is in God. So what do you want? Use this book. What has God given you in this book? It is not merely a promise, but that the reality of that promise being actually fulfilled in you and through you, so that you will be a blessing to the nations. Amen? That's why the promises begin with Abraham, isn't it? In a real sense of the word. The father of nations. Huh? You are sons of God. What are you called to be kings over? Nations. Yeah? But if you don't have the desire to bless nations, what kind of a king are you going to be? You don't want to be another Saul. This is not a game. Huh? If you don't get the fundamentals right, guys, you will build something with some other kind of altar. And your heart is an altar. Yeah, we have to learn from mistakes of the past. What's the point of having a ministry that sounds wonderful for 20 years and then it all comes down tumbling around our ears? So be wise, use those tongues judiciously, and understand that the vocal gifts are designed to actually make you a functional oracle of God. It will of course take time, because before we enter into that realm of reality. But if you remember that you should edify, right? That you should exhort and you should comfort. If you just function in those three fundamental realities, you will realize that you will become a blessing. Those are the streams through which God will develop your ability to speak the blessings of God, to become a blessing, to become a minister of the new covenant. Because everything has to flow spontaneously out of you. Praise the Lord. Shall we pray? Father, we bless you and thank you for the vocal gifts. We bless you and thank you for the abundance that is hidden behind these vocal gifts. And these vocal gifts open to us the infinite. There is infinite potential in these vocal gifts, Lord. Your word says that a man of understanding draws it out. So let the living waters flow into us. Let the voice of your word come alive in us. Enable us, O God, to become the blessing that you want us to be. Deliver us from the evil one. Deliver us from our own cunning, our own hidden agendas, our own fleshly thoughts. Enable us to take hold of Jesus Christ. Enable us to use tongues to receive of Jesus Christ what we don't have in ourselves, so that we will actually be fashioned and formed by the Holy Spirit in the image and fullness of Jesus Christ, so that we can become true ministers of the new covenant, a covenant fashioned out of his flesh, a covenant that will function in a witness true and faithful that is described in spirit, water, and blood. Let everything that is within us, O God, be aligned to your holy will, Father. We ask this, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord.